welcome to my Cup of Goodness program this morning. Program number 8, this is Mike Paulson from the Siberia of the 48 states up here in North Dakota. I thought this morning we would kind of shift gears a little bit. We've been talking about some things that some folks may or may not have heard before, but you know, the question is, really, I need to get back under this groove here a little bit, is I'm speaking of a Bible. I'm speaking from a Bible, King James Bible. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, and over the years I've studied this thing up and down, left and right, inside and out, I want to make sure that I have the Scriptures. Scriptures. Wow. So I thought what we'd do is we kind of stop on some of these doctrinal things I've been showing you and talking about a little bit, and show you the simplicity of Christ and how simple it is to have one book and not to have a pastor or a preacher or me or radio man or whatever. You should be able to sit down with your Bible and trust it to be the Word of God, the words of God, and to be able to read and understand what it is that you're reading. So today, let's just look at the word Scriptures. Let's just study the Scriptures here this morning a little bit. Now, the other day I was just kind of watching a television evangelist, those guys that are on it, and they got the thousands of people in their building, and they're screaming and yelling and getting all people excited and, you know, that kind of a thing. And I'm sure you know of whom I'm speaking of. But, and no names, I'm not here to bash individuals, there's no point in that at this point, so let's just drop that. But he said something that really bothered me greatly. He said, the truth is better felt than told. The truth is better felt than told. I think that's a terrible thing to teach and to say. In other words, you're trusting your feelings. You're trusting that this anointing that they say that people have, and they're trusting the fact that it's from God. And how do you know that your feelings are from God? What is your authority to know, to prove that what it is that you're believing, that you're coming to conclusions with, is from God? We're supposed to prove all things acceptable unto the Lord. Do we do that by our feelings? Now, I realize at my age, I've been around long enough to know that we're living in a day and age where the Bible is pretty much frowned upon. There's so many different Bibles out there. Who knows which one is which? And a lot of the generation today, they've never heard of King James only and that kind of a thing. But let's just look at the word Scriptures here this morning, and you can decide for yourself, do you or do you not have the Scriptures? Are we able to have the Scriptures to this day? And should we realize that the truth is based on our feelings? Or is it something that we can read and be told as such, whoever reads them, whatever? So let's just do this. Let's just go back to I've got a King James Bible. You can get whatever Bible you have. Doesn't matter to me at this point. And just follow along with me here this morning. We're going to go through a lot of Scripture references. You know, we always say there's that phrase, Scripture reference. Do you have the Scriptures? There's your question for the day. Matthew 21:42. Jesus saith unto them, did you ever read in the Scriptures? Da-da-da-da. No, he didn't say da-da-da-da. That's just the rest of the verse. But he asked these guys, have you read in the Scriptures? And then he makes the statement. Okay? Now, here's Jesus. This is before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and all that stuff from Paul. Okay? So when he's talking about the Scriptures, you know what he's talking about. It's not the stuff, it's not the full 66 books we have. He's talking about the stuff that was there before even he came along. Okay? So just keep that in mind here. Matthew 22:29, he says to these guys, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. That's quite a statement. You know, we make our errors today because we don't know the Scriptures. Could that be possible? Then he adds on to this thing, nor the power of God. So the Scriptures are the power of God. How does God teach us anything? Scriptures. How do we know what's true? Scriptures. Whether we feel good or feel bad, feeling has nothing to do with it. It's the Scriptures. He says in Mark 14:49, I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the Scriptures must be fulfilled. There he mentions it again. Here's quite a statement, Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, there were Scriptures, the things concerning himself? Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Luke 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? You know this story. While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up to us the scriptures. So here's Jesus, he's talking to these guys, and then he opens up the scriptures. Well, he's able to do that. The conclusion to that verse is it's Jesus Christ that opens the scriptures to the understanding of the scriptures to us is because of Jesus Christ. I wonder if maybe people don't believe the scriptures, they don't want to have the script, they don't even think they have the scriptures, and when they do have the script, they don't understand it because they haven't got the real risen Savior to help to open them up as they read. That's a possibility. These guys didn't understand what was going on until he opened to them the scriptures. Verse 45 of that same story, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Good time for a heads bowed, eyes closed kind of an invitation. You know, has your understanding of the scriptures been opened? When you read your Bible, does it make sense? Is there an understanding there? Is there confusion? Is there correction? Is there contradiction? Is Christ going to tell somebody, here's what your ministry is. I want you to go around this country. I want you to tell everybody what's wrong with the King James Bible, for example. It's been around for 400 years. How come all of a sudden it's so wrong? It's so bad. And here's a man who has studied and studied and studied, and now he knows the corrections that need to be made. Well, there's like over 500 different Bibles. How come none of them come to the same conclusion, the same corrections? They all correct different places. I really didn't mean to get into that aspect of it, but let's go to John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Okay? Search the scriptures. What's the scriptures? That's the Old Testament. That's what they had. Keep that in mind. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Okay, so that takes us through the Gospels. Now, we jump to Paul. Now, remember, they still did not have 66 books like we have today. So when Paul's speaking of scriptures, what is he speaking of? Well, of course he's speaking of what they had before. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He had the scriptures. He reasoned with them. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Is that what you do? Do we do that today? Do we open up the scriptures and find out what that man is saying? When he says the truth is better felt than told, can you give me a scripture reference for that? Can you show me in the scriptures where we're to trust our feelings? You know, search the scriptures when you have time. Search the scriptures when somebody gives you a question. Search the scriptures daily. And that they receive the word with all readiness of mind. You know, you want to hear something. Let me hear it. Let me see it in the scriptures. Where does it say that in the Bible? Okay, and then you know the story. We've talked about this before, Acts 18:24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures. Now remember, his scriptures were dealing with the baptism of John. Old Testament. Those are the scriptures before Christ died. Okay, so we don't want to bunny trail off into that thing. But he was shown the way of God more perfectly, right? I mean more completely, okay? Acts 18:28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. When Paul was first saved and was given his commission as such, first thing he had to do was to go to the Jews and publicly, it says, and to show them by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. That was the point. Jesus was Christ to the Jews, okay? So let me ask you today, if you believe that Jesus was Christ, if you believe that Jesus is who Jesus is, the Son of God and the Son of God and the Son of Man, God manifest in the flesh. If you believe all that and he's the Christ, Does that make you a Christian? Well, it did to the Jews, but does it to the Gentiles? Just believe that Jesus is the Christ today. Does that make you a Christian? Of course not. We know better than that. I think we know better than that. Here is a classic verse where Paul talks about the importance of all these scriptures that he's using. Remember, he's using Old Testament scriptures, gospel teachings, gospel truth that were all given to the Jews. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." That's from Romans 15:4. That is directed to the Gentiles. So you've got this grace crowd. You've got the Paul people out there, as I call them, mid-Acts or whatever, and they teach that you need to just concentrate on Paul's teachings. Skip the rest of the Bible. And whether they say that or not, they act that in their manner of life. There's nothing important. Oh, there is important stuff. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," we're written for our learning. Sure, we still have to learn. Genesis to Revelation, the entire Bible. Read the whole thing. Study the whole thing. Just don't try to apply the whole thing. Otherwise, you'll be building a boat. You'll be trying to follow the law. You'll be trying to do miracles, signs, and healings, and playing with snakes and drinking poison. Some will be looking to Paul's teachings. Some will be looking to Hebrews, where you can lose your salvation, and you have chastisement of God, and you've got pastors who are your final authority. And then you get into James, where works is what makes you saved. Then you get into 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, where if you're not saved, you're not. If you don't love your brother, you're not saved. And if you do anything wrong, you're not saved. And you get into Jude, contend for... Oh, it's just a mess, isn't it? It's just a mess. So Paul's looking to the Jews, and when he goes to the Gentiles, he says, you remember this, Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Marvelous verse. Thank you, Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Do you realize that anything we know about God, heaven, Jesus Christ, apostles, the wilderness trips, creation, the future, anything, whether they be twisted and messed with today, we wouldn't know that stuff today if it wasn't for the Scriptures. And what have we had around for over 400 years? The King James Bible. Everything that you know is because of that King James Bible over time. Now, apparently, it's outdated. It's no good. Question: do you have the Scriptures in your hand so that you don't err not knowing the Scriptures? Let's keep going here. 15:4, the same part of that series, "And that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Then he says to Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the Scripture, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." See, now Paul's got a different message now to the Gentiles than he had to the Jews. What was Paul's message to the Jews? Read the book of Hebrews. What's Paul's message to the Gentiles? Read Romans to Philemon. You're a Gentile. Unless you're a Jew listening to this, but if you're the Gentile, then you need to look to Paul's teachings. Those scriptures are to you. The rest of that Bible is for you. It's all there for us. But what's to you? Read Paul's stuff. Okay, so there's some references to the word scriptures. Now, let's go to Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. And if you have your Bible there, turn to it. You must turn to this thing. Okay, Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. I thought I had a mark here, but I guess I don't. Chapter 12, verse 6. He says here, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Now, in all my years of teaching, I did teach, I think it was 3 years in Las Vegas, I taught some English, Boy, did I fall in love with English, teaching English and grammar. It helped me understand the scriptures so much. Remember we talked about thee and thou and ye? The thee is a singular, and the y with a yea is plural, which just fixes the whole supposed hard-to-understand these and thous. Well, here's one. 7. Thou shalt keep them. Them is referring to what? Well, you go back to verse 6. Thou shalt, the words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them, referring to those words. That's a very simple grammatical check there, referring back to the words of the Lord. It's not referring to the Israel people at all. It's referring to the words of the Lord. The words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Do you have the words of the Lord? When you read your Bible, as we call it, do you have the words of the Lord? Not just the Word of God, but the words of God. The words of the Lord. Words, individual words. That's a promise for preservation that is only found in the King James Bible. Now, let's go to the classic verse. Let's go to Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, now I'm not sure what Bible some of you have, but I know it doesn't say that. But if you have a King James Bible, that's what it says. Now, people are going to say, well, that entire Bible is there for doctrine. Yeah, because it's scripture. Well, of course. But you can't say all that doctrine is to you. Simply put, is what Noah was taught, that's scripture. It was there for doctrine. Is that our doctrine today? The doctrine applied to Moses? The doctrine that Jesus taught to the Jews? Yes, it's all doctrine. But is that doctrine to us? Paul's doctrine is to us. Is James' doctrine to us? Hebrews? 1st, 2nd Peter? 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? You think about it, it's all there for doctrine. But it doesn't say it's profitable for doctrine to all of us. It just says it's profitable for doctrine. That Bible is doctrine. For reproof. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. Okay? Instruction in righteousness. Do we have to do the law? Do we have total grace? Do we have to follow, you know, what John teaches? Do we have to follow what James teaches? Do we have to go back and do the Beatitudes? What about what Paul teaches? They all conflict. There's contradiction there. Yes, I will be the first one to say, oh, this Bible's full of contradictions and confusion if you don't rightly divide it. If you rightly divide it, all that confusion and contradiction, it just goes away. You might not like the conclusions. You might not like what it says. You might not like the doctrinal battles that come out of it. You might not like the denominational differences, because based on doctrine, those denominational differences are based on differences in the different sections of the Bible. And the fact that the Bible has been changed. You can find a Bible that'll teach anything you want to believe. You can find one that follows what you believe. Go for it. Anyway. So, the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Now, there we go. Remember the other day? We defined perfection. We defined perfect means finished, completed. Doesn't mean that we're going to be errorless. We're going to live that perfectly sinningless life. No, that the man of God may be perfect, completed, finished. We grow up. We respond. We grow as a Christian. Truly, not thoroughly, but truly furnished unto all good works. That's our goal. And when the time comes and the judgment seat of Christ is over, you know what? We will be perfect. We will be finished. We will be completed. We'll be truly furnished. Okay. Oh, by the way, verse 16, a lot of Bibles say all scripture that is given by inspiration, which doesn't mean the entire Bible is inspired scripture. There's all sorts of tricks that the different Bible versions talk about. Now remember, I'm here to talk about the goodness of God, but we do have to come to some kind of a basic foundation for what we're talking about here. I'm going to talk about the goodness of God. It's only found in the King James Bible. If I'm going to talk about what we call spiritual circumcision, if we're going to talk about Romans chapter 6 and sin and sinning, if we're going to talk about all of it, I got a myriad of things to talk. There's that word again, myriad. I've got a myriad of things to talk about. It's just, I just want to give you the whole basket, the whole buffet in one sitting. Ever been to a buffet? You know, you just can't eat it all. When you walk in, you just want to eat everything you see. But by the time you're done, you don't want to see anything that's in that buffet table. A couple of days later, you're back. You look at the buffet table, oh, you want to just eat everything. By the time you leave, you say, I'll never go to a buffet again. A couple of days later, you're back to the buffet. So this is what this is like. This is like to me. I've got a buffet full of teachings, but you got to just realize this stuff's only found in the King James Bible. And I want you to listen. I want you to bring your different Bibles, whatever it is. That's okay. Whatever. Just follow along, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. The goodness of God brings people to repentance. That's what it is. It's not the severity. It's not the chastisement. It's not the fear of God. It's the goodness of God. Okay, let's get back to this. Now that we've looked at Psalms 12, 6, and 7, let's go to Psalm 138. Go back to Psalms. Psalm 138. How are we doing for time? We're doing okay. Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Now here's the part I want you to see. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Wow. Thy word is to be magnified above his name. Now, wait a minute. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Let me show you something here. Philippians chapter 2, it says here, verse 9, speaking of Jesus, of course, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Okay, so Jesus' name is above every name. And then we see here in Psalm 138, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God manifests in the flesh of Jesus, da-da-da-da, then really the Word is magnified above the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's true. How else would you know if you've got the real Christ? There has to be something that'll sort out as your final authority. Do you have the real Christ or do you have the Antichrist? Are you studying the teachings of the real Christ? Or are you studying the teachings of a false Christ? How would you know that unless there's one thing above Christ, and that's his word? His word is more important than anything. His word is even higher magnified. Is that right? His word is to be higher magnified, magnified higher. There we go. Magnified higher than his name. And if you study your word and the words of the Lord, you will be able to find out by your studies, do you have the real risen Savior, Revelation chapter 19? Or are you following the teachings and the churches and the doctrines of a fake Christ, of an Antichrist, who's going to show up in Revelation chapter 6? Never thought about that, have you? Well, can't stop there. We've got to go to 145, Psalm 145. Why are you going back to Psalms? You're trying to apply those things to us. No, I'm not applying them to us. I'm showing you what he says is truth. We're getting close to July 4th. I'm not sure you're going to hear the fireworks through this, but if you do, that's what it is. Or else it's my dog snoring next to me on the table here. Psalm 145, verse 18. She's a dachshund. Little miniature dachshund. But she does tend to snore. She's 9 years old, my dog here. Anyway, that's okay. Funny trail. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. Oh, that makes me think of Romans. Doesn't that make you think of Romans? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? Well, that's true. But look at the rest of this verse, though. This will help us. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Calling upon the name of the Lord has to be done in truth. That's how important this is. And yet the Word of God is magnified higher than his name. So I'm not worshiping a Bible. I write in my Bible. This is the Word of God. It's a physical book from a spiritual kingdom. That's how I look at that. This is a physical and a spiritual miracle, actually. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. How are we doing on time? We're doing fine here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Now, if you've got a King James Bible, this is the only Bible that adds in that verse, "but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." All the other Bibles that I'm aware of, anyway, have taken that phrase out. That complete scripture verse says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So does God still speak to you in your heart by feelings, or does he speak to us by the Spirit of God that's in us, according to this Bible, as we read our scriptures? You've got to have something to show you what's true or not. You can't just go by feelings. It is not felt. It is to be told. It is to be spoken. It is your written scriptures right there. Do you have them or do you not? That's my question for today. And then we finish it up with 2 Timothy chapter 2. Of course, if you have the scriptures, you have the word of truth, then in order to understand this thing, it must be rightly divided. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and it suddenly all opens up and makes total sense. If you're not rightly dividing the word of truth, then you're following profane and vain babblings. That's what the scriptures say. Now, with that established, whether you believe it or not or whatever, we will continue on. I will show you the New Testament tomorrow, how it is and how it is that Paul came along and why all of a sudden it's just Paul we're to be looking to. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Have a good, wonderful day. Have a wonderful day, and I hope this is an opportunity for you every morning to hear about the goodness of God, that he would preserve his scriptures, his words to us to this day. Thank you.